The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome to NFL Live and happy Friday. Week 3 already started. It's only going to get better, though. Lots of picks coming your way today. And in moments, we'll tell you why the pressure is mounting for Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy. Marcus Spears is here. Mina Kimes, Ryan Clark here with us on a Friday. Phil Yates joining us as well. There's some injury updates that you need to know about. But first, something this crew absolutely loves, bold predictions. So we begin with Mina on that.
All right, I got the rookie Justin Herbert going off. 3 touchdowns is my prediction, not just because I liked his performance under pressure last week, but because of the matchup. This Panthers defense has 6 pressures through 2 games. There are 19 players in the NFL, just players with as many pressures. They are terrible, quite frankly, and I expect Justin Herbert to play well.
The rookie is living up to the hype. I have Chase Young with 3.5 sacks against the Cleveland Browns this weekend coming up. You're talking about a guy that's going to be looking at Myles Garrett. Could Chase Young be Myles Garrett 2.0? He's already getting to the quarterback, creating a lot of pressure. Baker Mayfield will be hunted down by Chase Young.
Listen, for me, it's about the Steelers. The Steelers are going to shut out the Houston Texans this week because Driscoll put up 21 points, and I know that they're upset. But here's what's going to happen. This is what this will trigger. No DeAndre Hopkins. Now you get shut out by the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they're going to sign Antonio Brown. That's right. The Houston Texans call Antonio Brown. They are waiting on him week 9 because Deshaun Watson needs help, and Bill O'Brien has to get it. The shutout, then AB.
Bold on a Friday. Ryan Clark, how about them Cowboys? Spicy. We're going to start there on this show. A tall task week 3 against the Seahawks and Russell Wilson. And, yeah, Dallas mounted that fantastic comeback week 2 against the Falcons thanks to Dak. But look, the trash talk is already beginning. Apparently, people in Dallas talking about Jamal Adams, the Seahawks DB, has something to say about that.
You know, obviously, I've seen a couple things. They said that, you know, I struggle in coverage. So I can't wait. So I got a little text from one of my buddies back home. So he has the inside scoop on that. So looking forward to it.
So who said that, or where did you see that? Or?
I can't tell you that, man. Come on. I can't give you the nuggets like that, man.
Still trying to figure out who the source was there, but we'll figure it out. The Seahawks have struggled against the pass this season, allowing the most pass yards in the league through 2 weeks. Seattle's inability to get after the quarterback has been an issue as they've recorded the 3rd lowest pressure percentage in the NFL. Ooh. All right, so I'm not sure that you really need to fire up Jamal Adams any more than he already is, and whether this is actually real or whether he's just imagining it. Ryan, do you like Jamal Adams' mindset ahead of this?
Absolutely. Listen, Jamal Adams has one attribute in his game that nobody else has, and that's energy. When he is energized, when he brings that type of attitude to any team, he changes who they are. And now you're going to piss him off? Now you're going to make him upset. And listen, guys, when somebody's doing a lot of things well, you always try to nitpick the one thing you can find. Like I heard Stephen A. say this morning, they let LeBron shoot in the 4th quarter and he missed some jumpers. You know why? Because that's the only thing you can figure out that he did wrong last night. And a couple of pass coverage breakdowns is the only thing you can see that Jamal Adams has done wrong. So he's going to hope that they attack him. Quandre Diggs will be in the middle of the field. It will not be a backup this week. And I'm excited to see how Jamal, who said out loud, who said publicly he would like to play for the Dallas Cowboys, attacks his hometown team as they attack him. It's going to be fun to watch. I can't wait to see it unfold.
Yeah, he's already been all over the field defensively. You got to think he's going to be crazy in this one on Sunday. Mina, when you think about how to actually game plan in this one, do the Cowboys need to slow this game down, maybe run the ball as much as possible, trying to keep Russell Wilson and the Seahawks offense off the field?
No. If I'm Dallas, I am airing it out early. I am airing it out often. You saw those numbers. This Seahawks pass defense has struggled. They ranked 29th in efficiency against the pass, according to Football Outsiders, 5th against the run. They've been much more stout at stopping running backs. And man, they are getting zero pressure, okay? Absent Jamal Adams, who is pretty much their only source of hassling the quarterback. Bruce Irvin, who was their second best pass rusher, got hurt last week. So Dak's going to have time back there. I would throw often, and I think they'll have success doing so. I anticipate that this game is going to be fairly high scoring.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Well, in the image of my green suit jacket, Ryan and Mina are feeling real froggy right now. Because I'm going to bring this thing back. Run the football. Have we not watched what Russell Wilson has been doing and all the things that we're talking about with Seattle's defense? Dallas ain't been no world beaters on defense either. And last time I checked, as good as a game Cam Newton had against the Seattle Seahawks, Russ threw 5 touchdowns, y'all. DK Metcalf is out there ascending to a number one overall receiver now. I do not want this unit to have the ball. Russell Wilson is right now the league MVP. He has Tyler Lockett, who can create all the separation you want to create on the football field, and DK Metcalf, and also Greg Olsen. Chris Carson, they throwing screens, they running the football. Keep the damn ball away from him.
Marcus, you have stared since the year started.
Go, Ryan.
We've been scared since the year started. Last week, it's Atlanta, but I'm scared. I don't know what's going to happen. Now this week, I don't want to give the ball to Russell Wilson. He's the MVP.
Yes.
But on the other hand, let's play Dak. Have you not watched the games, Marcus? Did you not watch the game last week when they opened this thing
Marcus.
Up? Go ahead, Laura, because it's your show.
No.
It's Mina's show. Y'all got
Mina,
it.
Mina, you better? Go. I'm sorry to jump in, but you know what's better than keeping the ball out of Russell Wilson's hands? Scoring points, man.
Scoring.
I mean, did you not see those numbers? This Seahawks pass rush is getting less pressure than a motel showerhead right now. Dak is going to cook back there.
Ooh. Ooh. I never heard that one.
That was so good.
Because I could not love you anymore than I love you right now.
We're all going to try to recover from that. Mina, you're right about
respond.
Yeah, you're right about motel showerheads. Let's pick this game. Mina Kimes, who do you have in this one?
I got Seattle in a shootout, like I said. Russell Wilson is going to cook just as much as Dak is back there. And it's Seattle, so it's going to be a weird close game as usual.
It's my turn.
It's your turn.
It's my turn. I got Seattle. I got Seattle going to the Super Bowl. I think they're the best team in the NFC, even though there are some other teams playing at a very high level. I'm taking the Seahawks in this game. But if Dallas listens to me and plays a little bit of ball control with one of the top three running backs in the league, they'll have a chance to win. If they think they're going to get in a shootout with Seattle, they're going to lose.
I'm going to Seattle, and I'm not going to talk as long as Marcus because I'm not as scared as Marcus is. It's going to be a shootout. This game is going to be about Dak. This game is going to be about Mike McCarthy. But in the end, I think Russell Wilson makes the MVP plays to take Seattle to the win. You're so scary, Marcus.
Listen, can I have a moment?
You can, real fast, though.
Can I have a moment?
Real fast.
I was scared last week, Ryan. I'm not ashamed to say
you
I'm
were.
Scared. Did you see what the Falcons offense did? I was right to be scared.
Yep.
Now you telling me to have a different type of energy with Russell Wilson after I've been watching what he's been doing? Hey, hey. America, Ryan, Mina Kimes, Laura, yes, I am scared to let Russell Wilson have the ball this long. All right, that's
also,
all I got.
Also, I will point out, this is the first time this year, we're only in week three, but it's the first time this year that Marcus Spears has picked against the Cowboys, even if he thinks they might have a chance to play well in this game. The reviews are in. I think my shower head has the same pressure as a motel shower head because I've been feeling like it's just trickling out and it's not working out well for me. But we're just getting rolling on NFL Live today. We got so much more coming your way. With Ryan Fitzmagic looking magical, will Tua time be delayed? One person here thinks he should already be playing. And one of the most intriguing matchups week three is the Packers and Saints. Which quarterback has more to prove this season, Breeze or Rodgers? All of that and much more coming on NFL Live. I'd like to say that we're going to like get it together for the rest of the show, but I doubt that's happening with these three. I can just tell already. It's Friday.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
For years, you've been pushing lopsided trades on your buddies in your fantasy league. No one ever buys what you're selling, and you're not making any friends. But what if there were a trade assistant, like a powerful AI from IBM, that could analyze thousands of potential trades and suggest trades that are mutually beneficial? Surprise, there is. Check out Trade Assistant with IBM Watson in the ESPN Fantasy app. It's a win-win. Trade Assistant with IBM Watson, official sponsors of the Win-Win.
Thursday night football was a battle in the state of Florida with Miami quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick tearing through the Jaguars, throwing for 160 yards, 2 touchdowns, 18 of 20 passing. And look, he set an NFL record only he could last night with his win over the Jags. Fitzpatrick became the first quarterback in NFL history to beat a single opponent with 6 different teams. Yeah, that's like 6 different Ryan Fitzpatricks right there. Starting with the Bengals all the way back in 2008, he's been around for quite a while, guys. So, look, even Ryan Fitzpatrick himself has said that he has a role in bringing Tua along. That's part of why he's there. If he keeps balling this way, is that good for Miami because it's not putting Tua in, Marcus, or is it bad because they should be going ahead and putting him in the game?
I think it's good, but in a different way. I think it's good because you can put Tua in and give him some reps. Like, the first time you put Tua in as a starter, you don't want it to be a full-fledged game with chips on the line. You want to give him opportunity. Last night was a great opportunity in the Jacksonville game to get Tua some reps. And look, I'm going to be honest with you. Ryan Fitzpatrick played great. And Mina, I've listened to Mina, and like I know in RC, we know the bad game for Ryan Fitzpatrick is coming. That is not going to be the right time to put Tua in. The right time is now, right? And look, if Ryan Fitzpatrick don't start sliding, Tua going to be forced to play. Because last night, he act like he played running back. I'm going to leave it at that.
Ooh.
Well, that's not even it, though. Y'all acted like he balled out the first 2 weeks when New England and Buffalo beat the pants off of the Miami Dolphins. Let's not look at last night and think that this has been the whole season and Ryan Fitzpatrick has this team in the running to where we believe they can be a playoff team. Tua Tagovailoa should have already played. He should have played in the first game. He should have played in the second game. He should have played early last night. He should have a package. He should be getting warmed up. We already know that he's going to be the executive chef of the Miami Dolphins really soon. Do you want that first time to be after Ryan Fitzpatrick tries to run over Miles Jack or tries to run over Caleb Von Chasson? Or do you want it first time to be when another team has a whole week to prepare for him as a starter? No. Give him a package. Give him some plays. Let him see it. Give yourself an opportunity to see him in game time because you've missed him in the preseason. This is not Ryan Fitzpatrick's team. You need to find a way, if you're Brian Flores, to see your future on the field right now. Other people have packages for backup quarterbacks. Why not you?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What? You know, I'm confused because Ryan Clark and I usually agree on everything, but I could not disagree with you more on this. That's not how you successfully integrate a new quarterback, man. You need a clean break, and Marcus is right. That clean break is coming. We have seen this movie with Ryan Fitzpatrick before. We're going to continue seeing it. It could be 2040. Football could be played on Mars. There could be robot coaches. And Ryan Fitzpatrick will still have four great games, and then he's going to implode or get hurt. It's coming. And when that happens, that is when Tua Tagovailoa takes over this team. We don't need any trick plays or any of that nonsense. Give him the keys to the offense when he is ready to take over.
You know what y'all sound like? You know what y'all sound like? Let's do it traditional. That's not the way it always happens.
Yeah.
This is not how you integrate a quarterback. They also wanted Lamar Jackson to play wide receiver. And all of these things, there's a first for everything. There's a way to do different things based off of your situation. And let's not sit around and say we're waiting for the bad Ryan Fitzpatrick game. Y'all act like it has to be a five-pick game. The first two games weren't good games. And now all of a sudden we're waiting for the bottom to fall out for Ryan Fitzpatrick? No, your plan doesn't need to be we're waiting for Fitzmagic to become Fitzpatrick. Your plan needs to be how do we acclimate Tua into being our starting quarterback? Ryan Fitzpatrick shouldn't factor in this at all, whether he plays well or he doesn't. This isn't a playoff team. This needs to be Tua's team, and that's the way you have to attack this position.
Brought up Lamar Jackson because when they did try to integrate him the way exactly how you're describing, when Joe Flacco was the quarterback, he gained nothing. They had him lined up and did some kind of trick stuff and gadget plays. It was not useful for him.
It's two different people.
He became the quarterback of the football team when he took over the offense and they had to redesign it.
Well, let me just point this out as we go to break, guys. I mean, coming up, they've got the Seahawks, they got the 49ers, they got the Broncos, Chargers, Rams, Cardinals. I mean, like, at what point do you say, okay, this is the week that we decide to put Tua in, and is that really good for his future? I think that remains to be seen. We got so much more coming your way on NFL Live. We're going to get into some more quarterbacks. Over the years, Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers have provided us a lot of great memories and moments, but which quarterback needs his number one wide receiver more to return from injury? We're getting into that next on NFL Live. I can't. Plus, Sunday's slate features some big games, including Rams at Bills, Raiders at Patriots, Texans at Steelers, and Cowboys at Seahawks. But no game may be bigger on Sunday than Packers at Saints. It's taking all of, it's taking all of me. Roughly a decade ago, Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers won their first and only Lombardi trophies. Since, the all-time greats have racked up W's and stuffed stat sheets with no rings to show for it, but a lot of heartbreak. Their teams have been on the opposite side of iconic catches and runs.
Finds a little bit of a hole, keeps his legs moving, pushes the man, 35, 15, he is going to go, touchdown Seahawks!
They've been the victim of botched plays and calls.
Brees is going to throw, right side, it is Lewis, and he's decked as the ball arrives, no penalty marker! That could have and maybe should have been pass interference.
They've been on the good side of a miracle.
Rolling left, being chased, launches it in the end zone. Oh my goodness, it's caught for a touchdown.
And the bad.
Case on a deep drop. He'll fire to the right side. Caught by Diggs. Stay
on. Oh my God. Oh my God.
30.
No. 10.
Touchdown.
It's a Minneapolis miracle.
But always on the wrong end of the scoreboard. Now, with their careers winding down, can either dust themselves off again for one more championship. Hey, speaking of that heartbreak, here's how bad it's been. Since 2013, the Packers and Saints have been eliminated from the playoffs 6 times in walk-off fashion when the opponent scores the game-winning points, of course, on the final play, just in case you didn't know what walk-off meant. The rest of the league has combined to lose like that just 4 times. So something big in this matchup. Field Yates joining us to help us with it. Some injuries. What's the latest on Michael Thomas? We start with the Saints side of things.
Yes, a lot of star power amongst wide receivers banged up in this game, Laura. And let's start with Michael Thomas, as you mentioned. No practice Wednesday, no practice Thursday, no practice Friday. And what I've been told so far is that I'd be surprised to see Michael Thomas on the field on Sunday night. Certainly he wants to be out there, but after that nasty high ankle sprain suffered in week one, it's going to be a long shot for him to play on Sunday. That Saints offense sputtered this past Monday. As for Davante Adams, the Packers may have created the new term to describe an injury. He'll probably be doubtful is how they describe Davante Adams, although he's not necessarily a foregone conclusion to not play on Sunday night. But this is a team that knows the value to Davante Adams as he missed games last year and their offense really cratered. That being said, don't expect to see him either on Sunday night. Much more Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Alan Lazard for the Green Bay Packers, which faces off that excellent duo of cornerbacks in New Orleans.
Great stuff. Field, stay right there. We got more injuries to get to momentarily, but want to bring in our guys here, guys and girls here, to talk a little bit more about this matchup. And let's start with Marcus. Who needs their number one wide receiver more out of these two quarterbacks, Drew Brees or Aaron Rodgers?
We know it's Drew Brees. Everybody on here know this panel knows it's Drew Brees. Listen, Drew Brees talked about after the loss to the Raiders in Las Vegas of him and his receivers not being in sync. Well, you know who he's in sync with? Michael Thomas. They can do it in their sleep. He's always had that guy. When I was playing, it was Marcus Colston. That was the guy that you could rely on, him and Drew Brees making plays throughout the game, let alone Michael Thomas arguably being the best wide receiver in the game. So look, all of the things that we've been talking about, Drew Brees' arm strength, his air yards per attempt, I got that from Mina Kimes. I feel good about putting that all together just now. And then we talk about how he's looked, throwing an interception in the 2 minute, missing guys, not being on the same page. He needs Michael Thomas more than anybody Aaron Rodgers needs on his team.
I agree, and not just because you cited me, Marcus. Michael Thomas being out hurts the Saints offense more than Davante Adams potentially being out, because Davante Adams is no longer the entire offense in Green Bay like he was sometimes last year for a few reasons. One, I'm like Alan Lazard's biggest cheerleader. I have been for a while. Ranks near the top of the league in yards per target, which is a metric I like. Aaron Rodgers, trust him. On third or even fourth down, he's been very reliable for him. But also, Matt LaFleur has shown the influence of Kyle Shanahan getting running backs, in some cases even their fullback, involved in the passing game. When they're on the field, you don't know if they're blocking, running, or catching passes, using deception. The Packers offense has been much more creative this season. And I think even without Adams, they'll still find a way to generate open guys for Aaron Rodgers.
Mina, I realize that this question may seem ridiculous considering all that Drew Brees has accomplished, but it's no secret that he has struggled thus far this season. So let's say he struggles, doesn't perform in this one. What should the Saints be doing at quarterback? And just a reminder for those out there who may have forgotten, Jameis Winston is on the roster.
I didn't want to say it, but if Drew Brees' name wasn't Drew Brees, they'd be moving on to Jameis. And you guys know I'm right. Ryan Clark, back me up here. If that was not Drew Brees out there, if it was any other quarterback playing the way he has, not only through weeks one and two, but okay, the end of last season, you have to remember, this has been going on for a while, Jameis would be in there. Get in here, Ryan.
Hey, listen.
I see you.
Marcus is over here caping. Marcus is over here caping for Drew Brees. You heard that Drew said that him and his receivers weren't on the same page. Hey, man, you ain't got to be on the same page when you still got it. He ain't got it no more. And if it wasn't Drew Brees, he not only wouldn't be quarterbacking this team this year or this week, he wouldn't be there. And I was looking around because I live in Louisiana. I didn't know if people were sneaking in my bushes trying to wait for me to answer this question. But Drew Brees is going to be the reason that this team doesn't win the Super Bowl. Every year, there's been the Minneapolis Miracle. Last year, they say Kyle Rudolph pushed off. There was a missed DPI call against the Los Angeles Rams. Sean Payton is going to have to accept that none of those things are going to have to knock the Saints out of the playoffs this year, because they will not win the Super Bowl with Drew Brees' arm. I just wanted to say that slowly. The
Goodness.
Saints will not win the Super Bowl on Drew Brees' arm. Marcus, your turn.
Well, I didn't have a win in the Super Bowl, but I've lived and I grew up in Louisiana, and I plan on going back home at some point for the rest of my life. So I am not about to sit and stew with you and Mina Kimes right now. This is so blasphemous, I can't stand it. We just got done talking about Jameis Winston throwing 30 interceptions. You know who else they ain't gonna go to a damn Super Bowl with? Jameis Winston. So listen, I'm gonna give Drew Brees the time and the respect to see if he can bounce back. I understand what both of you are saying.
You're
I know we evaluate this thing a lot different than everybody else.
So
but
scary.
I am not going there right now to say Drew Brees is done.
Right
no way,
in.
No how.
Hey, speaking of scary, Ryan, we will give you a moment to go check outside your window and see if there's any Saints fans out there. They may not have gotten there yet, but they're going to be there.
Laura.
It's right there.
Yes.
We have to pay attention to Ryan Clark and Mina Kimes' mentions for the next, like, 6 days.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah,
this is about to be a bonanza.
They're going
to
blow up.
This
All
is
right.
about to be a bonanza.
It's going to be a bonanza. It's going to be great. Let's bring Field Yates back in here for some more injury updates. Let's talk about the 49ers. Field, they've just been decimated by injuries. What do you know?
Yeah, I think I might just list the healthy 49ers right now, Laura, because that actually might be a shorter list than the players that are banged up. But they have officially ruled out several players today, most notably tight end George Kittle. As you see the full list on your screen, or will shortly now. Jimmy Garoppolo, we know, is also going to miss this game because of a high ankle sprain. Raheem Mostert and Tevin Coleman. So basically, all the key players in that 49ers offense besides the line are out for this game Sunday. Now, Julio Jones did not practice at all this week for the Atlanta Falcons, but one of the perks of being one of the great wide receivers who's been doing it for so long is you don't necessarily need practice. He's questionable. It's a game-time decision. I would not be surprised if Julio does play, and the Falcons at 0-2 are certainly desperate for a win. Now, the Raiders played on Monday night, so they didn't necessarily need a bunch of extra reps for both Josh Jacobs, their running back, and Darren Waller, their tight end, who were dealing with a hip and knee issue respectively. They both missed practice on Wednesday and Thursday. Both returned today, Friday. Listed as questionable, I do expect to see both of them on the field against the Patriots in a game that all of a sudden a lot of us are even more intrigued in because of the 2-0 Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, one more point I wanted to mention. Everybody on this show picking the Packers in that Packers-Saints game, just for the record. Let's talk a little bit more about the Patriots and the Raiders, though. And everybody has the Patriots winning this one. You see the picks right there on the screen. Mark them down. Keep these people accountable. Marcus, how much does it change things for the Raiders offense if Jacobs and Waller are out? You just heard Fields reporting there.
Laura, it's a huge blow because, first of all, John Gruden wants to be physical at the point of attack, and they were against the Saints with Jacobs. And Waller, we don't even have to talk about it. He was the catalyst for that game, found mismatches all over the field, made this vaunted secondary for the New Orleans Saints look like they had no clue, and then later in the game, they start double-teaming him. These are the two most important offensive threats that the Oakland Raiders have. Without them, they stall.
Ryan, what are you watching for from Cam Newton in this Raiders-Patriots game?
Listen, we saw Cam Newton in this pass game of the New England Patriots light up the Seahawks for 396 yards. There's a second-year corner in Mullins starting, and also Damon Arnett, a rookie from Ohio State, who's the other corner. This is a very young secondary, and we watched Cam Newton kind of get on pace and get on the same page with some of those wide receivers, especially Julian Edelman. I want to see if this passing game takes the next step, if they have some consistency, and this becomes something that you can rely on week in and week out if you're Josh McDaniels and the New England Patriots along with Cam Newton. I'm excited to see what's the next step.
Mina, we also find out that Henry Ruggs is out for the Raiders in this one. Such a speed factor for them. How does that play into this game?
Well, it's a big deal, Laura, because even if Darren Waller does play, I'll tell you something, Bill Belichick is not going to let that Raiders offense do to him what they did to the Saints defense with his secondary. So Derek Carr is going to have to look elsewhere. I wouldn't be surprised if this is a big game for the other rookie. Bryan Edwards is a true X, big-bodied wide receiver. He might be someone for Carr to lean on if Darren Waller gets doubled.
All right. It's not just the Raiders that are banged up. The Patriots are banged up a little bit, too. This from our Patriots reporter, Mike Reese. You see the injury report there. And starting center David Andrews, that one sticks out. He's out. Running back James White also out. And then wide receivers Julian Edelman and N'Keal Harry are questionable. This could be even more on Cam's shoulders, even though Bill Belichick is 8-1 in his career against the Raiders. Let's talk about a game that's going to be really interesting because you got two 2-0 teams and the Rams taking on the Bills. Mm. And this one's going to be fascinating for a lot of reasons. We are split on the picks here. Mina taking the Bills and Ryan and Marcus on the Rams. And look, there are reasons why. I mean, Josh Allen has been dominant so far this season, and the Rams offense has looked like shades of 2 years ago, which is really scary for everybody. Time for some smart lineup decisions informed by IBM Watson. Mm. Ryan, let's start with a little matchup that's going to be interesting. Expectations for Stephon Diggs and Jalen Ramsey.
Listen, I'm excited about this matchup. Last week, Jalen Ramsey had 41 coverage snaps without giving up a completion. And we watched Stephon Diggs go crazy against a backup rookie for the Miami Dolphins. And Josh Allen is showing this year that he's in the MVP conversation. But that was against the 3rd-and-31 Jets, right? And that's also against the Miami Dolphins and a rookie. Now you got to go play the big boys. And with Troy Hill, Darius Williams, Jack Johnson's on that back end. And now you got Jalen Ramsey matched up man-to-man with Stephon Diggs. He's not going to want any help. He's going to want to take that challenge. Will Josh Allen go away from him like Aaron Rodgers used to do Richard Sherman? Or will he go at him and prove his point? I can't wait to see how this unfolds.
You know, you're right, Ryan. This is a much stiffer challenge for Josh Allen. But I have faith because the Bills offense has looked like the Rams offense, quite frankly. I mean, who leads the league in play-action passing attempts? It's Josh Allen, who's been using a ton of four wide receiver sets in Buffalo. It's the Bills' offense. It's not just about Diggs. Yes, he is their best wide receiver. But that said, I wouldn't be surprised if Josh Allen uses his feet a lot in this game as well, because that is the Rams' defense's weakness. It's stopping the run, the middle of the field. Their pass defense has been spectacular. So you might see some Rams DBs on the end of some Josh Allen stiff arms. Ryan, you know a thing or two about that we learned today.
Wow!
Got him! Got him. Okay, we'll talk about how hot that burn was
my
in the break.
We've
got to go to break, you guys. Next on NFL Live, this crew discusses the blockbuster matchup of the last two MVPs on Monday night as Lamar and Mahomes prepare to square off under the bright lights in one of the most anticipated games of the season.
Did that look like Lamar?
Yeah,
with that juke? That's as close as I can get right there.
What a Week 3 Monday Night Football matchup this is. Patrick Mahomes and the 2-0 Chiefs taking on Lamar Jackson and the 2-0 Ravens. 8 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. Our coverage begins with Monday Night Countdown at 6. And if you've ever wondered what Patrick Mahomes sounds like in-game, here you go.
I'm a snow game guy. I don't know why, but I like it. Everything's super slow, and I'm just like out here just like standing straight in the pocket, just like whoop, whoop. Damn.
Thanks for letting me punt. I appreciate it. Felt good to get out there again.
Where's that? I thought you gotta hit me! You gotta hit me! They gotta hit me! They gotta hit me! Hey, hey, 2-0. That's a good-ass hit, though. They're gonna talk about this forever, baby. Let's get it, baby. Let's get it. Let's get it right here, baby. Believe, baby. Believe, baby.
Kansas City, you've got a champion.
Yeah! Yeah!
That's awesome. That's awesome, coach.
Look at my dad real quick. We did it, baby.
We did it. I love you. It's amazing. It's amazing. I gotta go.
Love you. Thank you, Kansas City. We did it, baby.
Okay, so many good moments in that, but just really quickly, my favorite was when he got sacked and he's just like, dang. I think that's what I would say if somebody ever sacked me. Okay, Mina, let's talk about this matchup because it's absolutely ridiculous on both sides. There's so many matchups you could pick, but which one are you most interested in between the Chiefs and the Ravens?
Yeah. I'm going to go with the man we just saw or heard a lot from, Patrick Mahomes, against this Ravens defense that is currently ranked first in efficiency. Meanwhile, Mahomes, the reigning MVP, the best quarterback in football, hasn't really been himself through the first couple of weeks of the season. He's only thrown deep, Laura, on 6% of his dropbacks. That ranks near the bottom of the league. It's very un-Mahomes-like. Now, he goes up against a blitz-happy Ravens front. Patrick Mahomes shreds the blitz. That's what he does, but can he do it in this game? Can the Chiefs' offensive line, can those tackles hold up when the Ravens send extra rushers? That's what I want to see, and that is the matchup I find the most interesting.
Yeah, that's going to be extremely interesting to me, too. I'm excited about it, though. When you look at Marcus Peters and now you look at Marlon Humphrey, what those guys can do. You add Jimmy Smith to it now since they lose another player. And they're going to come at Patrick Mahomes. So we can wake up Tuesday morning and say this Ravens team is beyond a shadow of a doubt the best in the NFL because they're the best offensively. And they just stopped the best player in football. Or we can say that Patrick Mahomes is back. That the first 2 weeks he was bored. The first 2 weeks they didn't dial up the right plays, or the first 2 weeks wasn't who the Kansas City Chiefs truly are. But the greatest thing about that is we get to find out Monday night on ESPN who the real true G is in this league, and I can't wait to see it.
See, when you doing your hands like this, as a big man like me, you either about to eat something good or you about to watch something good. And Monday, we about to watch something good. The thing that I want to see, because both of you all point this out, a lot of man-to-man, because Wink Martindale, the defensive coordinator from the Ravens, like you said, RC and Mina, he likes to bring pressure. And I am looking for this explosive Chiefs offense that we've been so excited about. And Patrick Mahomes has ascended to being the best player. You are going to get one-on-ones on the outside at some point in this game. Who is going to make the plays? The Chargers, they rushed with four and kept everything in front of him, and it took a while for Patrick Mahomes to figure out how to move that rock down the field with the explosive plays. They'll be there Monday night. Will he make them or will the Ravens make them? I can't wait, y'all. I can't wait.
Marcus is going to be doing this all weekend long, getting ready for Monday night. Guys, we have time for one more thing before we go. And we begin with Ryan on this one.
My thing is Kyler Murray. Let's pump the brakes on giving him the MVP already. I know this is a good start, and Arizona hasn't had anything to be excited about in a very long time. But there's still Russell Wilson. There's still Josh Allen. Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes are still out there. It's the second year, and we had two second-year MVPs back-to-back. But let's let Kyler play a little bit this season so we see who he is.
Baker, what's up? Here we go again. Great outing against the Cincinnati Bengals. You got on par with your head coach, Kevin Stefanski, put you in a lot of great positions. We saw the connection with Odell Beckham Jr. We saw Nick Chubb toting that rock. Now you have a vaunted Washington football team front seven. Will you continue to make plays?
So there's been a lot of hand-wringing about Brady and the Bucs offense early on. I'm here to tell you, Brady's fine. He's played well. He's thrown the football well. His receivers have been letting it down. By my count, last week dropped 6 or 7 passes. They need to get it together in order for this Bucs offense to be firing all cylinders, and I believe they will.
Special shout out to Callie Brownson, Jennifer King, and Sarah Thomas. In the Browns and Washington game over the weekend, it'll mark the first time in NFL history that you've had female coaches on both sidelines and a female official in the game. For all of us women that love football so much, I just want to thank these three for forward progress in this game.
Let's
it's
go.
Fascinating, right? And Let's so fantastic. Go. Mina, so cool, right?
I love it. I love it. It's got me going. What is this? What do you do with your hands? I don't.
It's also a very good hand washing technique, like by the way. Everybody, wash your hands. Wear your masks out there. Have a great weekend and enjoy week three. And don't forget Monday Night Football right here on ESPN on Monday. The Ravens taking on the Chiefs. We'll see you next week.